You see, when it comes to following Jesus, Jesus knew his heart and he knew what he was saying to him. And he was saying, yes, I will pay for your salvation. It is free to you, but following me will never be cheap and easy. It will cost you.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Counting the Cost by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible through the way we worship, the way we study God's word, and the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Have you ever heard the expression, counting the cost? Has anybody ever heard the expression? It means to gauge whether or not something is worth attempting. Last Monday, a few days ago, I went with a college and career group. It's called Converge. We went to a water park, and at this water park, they have this ride called the Daredevil Drop. Anybody been on the Daredevil Drop? It's a 76-foot water slide. It has a steep drop, and something inside said, can you imagine if you get Nicole to get a video of that and put it on Facebook, how many likes you will get on Instagram? And imagine next Sunday, so many people would come to church just to hear the Daredevil preacher. I mean, you can just imagine. I'm like, man, we're going to have revival. I got to get on that ride. And so we got up the Lazy River, went up to this base of this water slide, and I watched it for about 10 minutes, counting the cost. I'm like, is it worth it? Young kids, I mean, kids no bigger than this, coming down this water slide. I chickened out. So anyways, the point is, I counted the cost. It wasn't worth falling 76 foot. Maybe next year I'll do it. When it comes to salvation, we also have to count the cost. We have to ask ourselves, what all am I willing to give up in order to be saved? What all am I willing to give up in order to have eternal life? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Giving up doesn't save us. You can give up everything you have. That's not going to save you. Salvation from start to finish is the work of God. It's by grace through faith in Jesus' cross and his resurrection. So giving up does not save you, but being willing to give up everything reveals whether or not you understand the gospel. If you're still hanging on, either you're not saved or you're not ready to be saved. And whatever that something is, we're going to talk about that in a few moments. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17. And I'm going to skip over a few verses, but we're going to look at all the verses in this account through the message. So Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Once again, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. Now, as he was going out, who is he? This is Jesus himself doing his ministry. As he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, who is this one? If you read Matthew and Luke, they tell us that this one was a young man who was a ruler, and all three of them tell us that he was very rich. That's where we get the rich young ruler. He comes in, and he almost, like you can see him sliding in on his knees, and he asked Jesus, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit, I want you to get that word in your mind, inherit eternal life. Now jump over to verse 23. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Go to verse 26. And they, meaning the disciples, were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Have you counted the cost of following Jesus Christ? Are you willing to give up all you have in order to follow him? What is that one thing in your life that you're still holding back? And by the way, giving up money or job or whatever, that's very easy. It's old habits, old ways of thinking, old ways of handling problem, handling people in your life, dealing with issues, old memories. Those are the hardest things to give up. What are you unwilling to give up? Giving up doesn't save you, but but giving up reveals whether or not you truly understand the cost of discipleship. The series on the gospel has been impactful on so many levels. So many of y'all have talked to me, emailed me, called me, messaged me and told me how much that has been a blessing to you. The series has demanded from us, I know from me, unconditional allegiance to Jesus, who is not only my Savior, but He's also my King. That means I have to obey Him. It has demanded from me immediate confrontation with sin. I cannot tolerate sin in my life. If my King has called me to deal with sin, I have to deal with sin. This message today, we're going to meet a young man. We know him as the rich young ruler who came to Jesus with all the right intentions. He had the right question, and yet he walked away from eternal life because he was unwilling to give up everything he had. This morning, let the Holy Spirit open your eyes. Three things we're going to see in this passage, in this account. The first thing is this. When this young man came to Jesus and asked that question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus did not immediately lead him in the sinner's prayer. Listen to what it says. He says, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." You see, this young man was under conviction, but he was not ready to make that commitment to follow Christ. For starters, he had a wrong understanding of Jesus. You know, in my life, I have seen many people get under conviction. They're ready to leave their past behind. They're done with their old life. They're at the end of their rope. Problems in their life, financial problems, physical problems, relationship problems. They are at that place where, man, I got to give everything over to God. They're under conviction for the pain they have caused other people. And so they're ready, but they're not ready to receive Christ. They're not ready to pray the sinner's prayer. Under conviction is not the same as ready to make that commitment. And again, he calls Jesus good teacher. Jesus was much more than just a good teacher. He was the Son of God in flesh. You know, there are many people who have prayed a prayer, but they never got saved because they didn't know who they were praying to and what they were praying for. And some person, maybe a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a parent, just led them in a prayer. And they're walking around thinking, "Oh, I'm saved. I prayed the prayer. I prayed the sinner's prayer." But they know deep in their hearts, there is no connection with the living true God. As spiritual things come at them, there is no receptor that says, "Yep, I receive it." There's emptiness. So they imitate people around them. They fake it, hoping to make it, and nothing happens. They prayed the prayer, but they didn't know who they were praying to, or what they were praying for. And by the way, let me clarify something at this point. The problem is not with the sinner's prayer. Some people have a problem with that term. I don't have a problem with that expression. I had a person come to me and say, "You know, there is no sinner's prayer in the Bible." I said, "Well, I agree, but do you also know that there is no word called Trinity in the Bible? But I believe in it." "Oh, I didn't know that." "Oh," I said, "by the way, did you know that Jesus never used the word grace in any of his messages?" "Oh, I didn't know that either." "But salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus' work, right?" "Yeah." I said, "The word sinner's prayer doesn't have to be, but it is still valid. As long as you know what you're praying for and who you're praying to." Folks, I was only 4 years of age and I prayed the sinner's prayer. And my sinner's prayer was not as deep and complicated. It was as simple as this: "Jesus, I need you in my life to be my Lord and Savior. And from this day, I'm going to follow you. Forgive me of my sins." That was my prayer. But God honored that prayer. So sinner's prayer is not the problem. In fact, if you see in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, what does it say? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, something has to be said. When this person came to me, I asked him the question. I was like, well, who do you confess to? To me? He said, no. I said, to the church? No. To God. I said, all right. So what do you call that thing when you talk to God? Is it prayer? Oh, there you go. I don't know if you want to call it a sinner's prayer or not, but you got to pray something. You have to talk to God and say, God, I need Christ to forgive me, or Jesus, forgive me of my sins. So how does this all happen? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, but also believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? What's the word? You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, means words have to come out, confession is made unto salvation. Then I asked this person, did you ever read like three verses down, Romans 10, 13? He said, well, yeah, I think so. I said, well, let's read it. What does it say? Can y'all read together with me? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, what is calling on the name of the Lord but prayer? The sinner's prayer is not the problem. The problem is this young man was not ready to make that commitment. He was not ready. So the point is this: Jesus did not immediately lead him in some rote prayer. He challenged his understanding of the gospel. He challenged his understanding of himself. Jesus was much more than a good teacher. He was the Son of God, come to take God's wrath upon himself and pay the penalty of our sins. Here's my question to you. How were you saved? Was it just by some prayer? Or did you truly understand the gospel? I'm not asking you this morning, could you explain the book of Romans? I'm not asking you this morning, did you understand the deep meaning of propitiation? All I'm saying is, did you understand the gospel that you are a sinner? Jesus came to die for your sins. And by repenting and receiving, you can be saved. Has that happened in your life? If not, this is what needs to happen today. As I'm preaching to you, you need to be praying for the very first time and asking God to save you. That's what needs to happen. Because all this time it was conviction, all this time it was pain, all this time it was just you at the end of your life, end of your rope, but salvation never happened. You prayed a prayer. And no amount of praying a prayer can ever save you. It has to come from the heart. You have to believe in Christ. So the first thing first, Jesus did not immediately lead him in the sinner's prayer. But something else, when this young man came to Jesus, Jesus clearly laid out the cost of discipleship to him. Now what we're about to read, especially if you've been in church or you've been teaching Sunday school for years and you know the Bible, you know this is a very odd passage. What did Jesus say to this young man? He said, you know the commandments. Do not commit murder, adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. What was Jesus quoting at this point? He was quoting the Ten Commandments. Now here's the question. Was Jesus advocating work salvation? Was Jesus actually telling this young man who says, how can I inherit eternal life? Well, you know, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. Folks, that goes completely against what the Bible says. I mean, listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I want you to see the screen. He said, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Means it's not by keeping the Ten Commandments that you can be saved. So why in the world would Jesus say something like this when he says, good teacher, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Well, why do you call me good? No one's good but God. All right, here's the answer. Go keep the Ten Commandments. Why would he say this? And some people have argued that Jesus was trying to get the young man to see the hopelessness and the emptiness in keeping the law. So you know, the young man is like, yeah, Jesus, I've been doing that. And tell you what, it's an empty life. I've been keeping all the law, and it just doesn't build my relationship with God. Actually, that's not what he says. What does he say? He said, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Which means what? Oh, yeah, I love the law. It's good, man. I grew up in a good moral home, a religious home. I've been keeping it. So it's not that Jesus was trying to get him to admit the emptiness and the hopelessness of keeping the law, because that's not what this young man says. Some people have argued that Jesus was trying to get him, this young man, to reject works righteousness. You know what works righteousness is? Trying to earn God's favor. Unfortunately, Jesus did just the opposite. Works righteousness, keeping the law, don't murder, don't steal, don't do all these things. Yeah, none of this saves me, Jesus. I need you. Actually, Jesus is just the opposite. What does he do? Listen to the next verse. Then Jesus looked at him, verse 21. What does he do? Loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. If Jesus was telling this young man in a subtle way that you need to give up works righteousness, I think he's doing a very poor job. Because guess what Jesus said? One more thing you got to do. What is the one more thing, Jesus? Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come take up your cross and follow me. If Jesus was trying to take away works righteousness, he adds more. What exactly is going on? Why did Jesus do this? Why did he talk so weird, so odd, so contrary to what we know it takes to be saved? I want you to hear me carefully. Jesus was and is God. He knew the young man's heart. Did you remember what was his question? What shall I do to inherit? You know what he was saying? How can I once and for all get my ticket into heaven? You know what inheritance is? When someone dies, they pass it over. They can't come back and claim their inheritance, right? I mean, they're gone. They're done. Now it all belongs to you. What this young man was saying is, how can I get to a place when eternal life belongs to me and I don't have to do anything else? Jesus, being God, saw right through him and he said, you're not ready. You know, there are people just like that even today. They're ready to get Jesus in their hearts, but they're not willing to give up sin. They're going to still hang on to the old lifestyle. They're going to still hang on to their pornography. They will still cuss. They will still talk trash. They will still have their old ways of handling things and problems. You know, there's a way that God has told us how you need to live in a marriage relationship. But instead of doing it God's way, you're still trying to do it your way. But I know how my wife thinks. I tell you what, I got to do it this way now. Oh, my husband is like this, and I have to treat him this way because he's... No, but God has told you a whole different way. Well, I'm young and I'm single and I can do whatever I want to. You don't know what I've been through. It doesn't really matter. Your king tells you that that is sin. Are you going to give it up? By the way, I have no sympathy for people who come to church and they demand their old-fashioned hymns. Because what they really want is temple music to soothe their souls. Because Monday morning, they got AC/DC cranked up. And as they're driving down the road, you know, and the hairs, well, whatever's left is flowing in the wind, guess what they're doing? They're reminiscing when they were in that day 30 years ago, and man, how things were and what they were doing, and they're daydreaming and they're living in filth. And Sunday morning, they want, I like that old hymn. Now, I'll tell you what, that's what I sing to. Yeah, shame on you. You see, when it comes to following Jesus, Jesus knew his heart, and he knew what he was saying to him, and he was saying, yes, I will pay for your salvation. It is free to you, but following me will never be cheap and easy. It will cost you. There's a cost to discipleship. Some things have to be given up. I had to tough it out, man. I had no family. I had to make it work. So this is who I am. You got to take me. No, I have to give that up. I have to give up that take me as I am. this is just me being me. I have to crucify that me being me. It's easy to put a few bucks in that offering plate. Y'all get what I'm saying? It's easy to stand at a soup kitchen and serve the line. It is very hard to give up that me being me. It costs Jesus his life to buy your pardon. If you follow him, it may cost you your life as well. And please don't misunderstand. You don't have to go sell everything you have and give to the poor before you can be saved. But you better be willing to do it if your king tells you to. If he tells you to go to the other side of the world and share the gospel, if your king tells you, you can't say, well, you know, I'm a homebody now. No, if God tells you to get on that plane and go on a mission trip, you do it. Because you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. Have you counted the cost of discipleship? What are you willing to give up? A better question, what are you unwilling to give up? Giving up doesn't save you. Giving up only reveals whether or not you're saved. And if today you still have that sin, whatever that sin is, anger, bitterness, old way of handling things, and you still have it, you say, I'll give up everything. I'll give up that cigarette. I'll give up that bottle. But this right here, no one's ever going to take that from me. Shame on you. Jesus did not immediately lead him in the sinner's prayer. Jesus clearly laid out the cost of discipleship. Here comes the third point. By the way, what happened to this young man? What does the Bible say? He was sad at this word and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was very rich. He walked away. Now, Jesus revealed the secret to following him, not to the young man because he's gone, but to the disciples who are still there. Jesus explained to them. Listen to what he said. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is, how tough it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. And Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. He's really driving this point to them. And then he uses this funny image or imagery. It is easier for a camel, can you see the big snout and hump, trying to force that camel to the eye of this tiny needle? I mean, it's impossible. It is easier for a camel to go to the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Remember, the rich man, young ruler, is gone. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And what is their response? And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be? Did you notice the three different terms used for salvation? What was the young man's question? What can I do to inherit eternal life? How did Jesus answer? It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Eternal life is the same as the kingdom of God. But did you notice how the disciples questioned? Who then can be? Eternal life equals kingdom of God equals saved. It's one and the same. Who then can be saved? What was Jesus' response to his disciples? I want you to see this. This is very powerful in verse 27. In fact, I want you to say it with me. It's on the screen. And I hope these words will ring in your mind and your heart for the rest of your life. This is not just any words. These are words that make our Christian life happen. Ready? With men, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. The rich young ruler walked away. The disciples stood in amazement going, I guess I'm not willing to give up stuff right now. I mean, does that mean I'm not saved either? And then Jesus reveals the secrets to those who are still hanging around and are still willing. And the secret is this: you can't do it. Folks, if you walk away from this message today and say something like this, you know, from this day on, I'm going to give up everything I have, everything I have. My wealth, and my money, my habits, my attitudes, my old ways of doing things, my old memories, my old cuts and bruises, I'm giving it all up. You cannot in a million billion years do that. Salvation from start to finish completely is by grace. He is not asking you, are you able to follow me? He's saying, are you willing? You know, there was another young man. His name was Simon. And one day Jesus came to him as well. And he got into his boat and he told him, Simon, go launch out into the deep and drop your net. What was Simon's response? We've been fishing all night. Just to let you know, we have caught nothing. It's for some reason they're not biting. Nevertheless, at your word, we will do it. This young man said nothing and walked away. Peter said, if you say so, I'll do it. And they did it. Listen to what happens. They pulled in the net. There were so many fish that they could not pull them in. They had to get other boats to come and help them. And listen to what happens. I really want you to focus on this one. And by the way, when Simon Peter saw all this, he fell down at Jesus' knees. And what did he say? He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And Jesus said to him, what? Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. If only that young man had said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I believe at that moment, Jesus would have said to him, all right, let's go. And what happened when these men, Simon and Andrew, James and John, when they came to the shore, what happened? They, what's the word there? They forsook all and followed him. You know how they forsook all? It was the Holy Spirit who helped them give it all up. What God expects from you is not your ability, only your willingness. He is not saying, are you able to give up everything? He's saying, are you willing? He will do the rest. With you, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. This morning, there are two groups of people in this place. One is the group that has prayed some prayer. You know and I know, I mean, you know and God knows that you're not saved. What needs to happen today is you really need to receive Christ as your Savior. You have to acknowledge that you are a sinner. All right? You are no longer the king of the world. Christ is, and he died for your sins. And you have to say, God, forgive me. That's repentance. And I need Jesus to come into my life and be my Savior and my King. And from this day on, you will follow him. That's your prayer. There are other people in this group who are saved. For some odd reason, you are still trying to sit on the throne of your life. One thing I've learned with God, if you belong to him, if you're really saved, and you are his, he will drop kick you so hard, and you will be on the ground. He will bring you face to face with your old sin nature. You will do something that you used to do 30 years ago. A thought will pass through your mind, and you will realize how unworthy you really are. You know, we have this idea that I'm somebody. I've been there. I've done it. And we become the masters, the kings of our lives. It's not bad. Because those are the moments you say, God, how dare I sit on your throne? You're in charge. Take over. It is a sweet surrender. It's beautiful. It's yours, Lord. Do what you need to do in my life. And you will see God doing things, God bringing people in your life, God taking you to levels that you could never do on your own. But as long as you have that control, whatever that control is, you are your worst enemy.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Just like the rich young ruler, you and I must count the cost of what it means to follow Christ. But unlike the young man who walked away sad, you and I should understand the depth of God's love and should take up our cross daily and follow after Christ. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.